Support for WBFO and What's Next comes from our members and from Health Foundation for Western and Central New York, where racial and socioeconomic health equity are prioritized. Learn more about building healthier neighborhoods at hfwcny.org.
I'm Jay Moran.
I'm Bridget Jaipal Valenza.
I'm Thomas O'Neill White.
We need to get together and let our voices be heard.
This is What's Next, a dedicated hour to have important conversations about the issues facing the marginalized and underrepresented communities of Western New York and Southern Ontario.
If we're going to have some real healing, we've got to have space to tell some uncomfortable truth.
What's Next continues our mission to discuss race,
equity,
and the common concerns of Buffalo's East Side and beyond.
In the suburban area, everywhere, we must work and teach our children.
And good morning. Welcome to What's Next today as we are right back into school. Hard to believe school is back. We have a real great opportunity to talk to two important members of the local education community. With us, the CEO of Say Yes Buffalo, David Russ, back with us. Good to see you, David.
Morning, Jay. Good to be with you.
And for the first time, getting a chance to meet Mark Laurie, who is the superintendent of Niagara Falls Schools. Good to see him.
It's great to see you, and thank you for taking the time to hear us out today.
Yeah, I mean, this is great. I mean, Say Yes has provided such great excitement to the city of Buffalo. But now it's taking a look at what's going on in Niagara Falls. David, from your perspective, why don't you just give us a little background of how and what to expect when it comes to Say Yes and what it's going to be doing in Niagara Falls?
Sure. So we're, 13 years into the Buffalo partnership here, which has been best in class and will continue and will always be a priority for us. Here is its home. But about 2 years ago, Mark and I were approached by the majority leader, and we had a meeting and to talk about what would a potential expansion from Say Yes Buffalo into Say Yes Niagara Falls look like. And I think one of the reasons was, the educational and education and economic gains we've been able to work here with locally, it'd be great if we could transfer that up to the Falls. From an economic standpoint, we're looking at 170,000 open jobs in the next decade, with two-thirds requiring a post-secondary credential. I think every child in the city of Buffalo and Niagara Falls has potential. Not everyone has been given opportunity. And this was a chance to try and provide that same opportunity to contribute to our educational landscape and, just as important, our workforce, if we're able to find a way to partner together and bring the Say Yes model up to Niagara Falls. So we started conversations. The mayor was involved. The majority leader's chief of staff was involved. And, we were immediately very interested. I've been highly impressed with the work that has happened up in Niagara Falls. I visited schools, gotten to know people up there, gotten to know the community, and it seemed like a great fit and something that we were really interested in partnering on and developing this regional approach to talent development. We're a top 50 metro market, 1 million people between the two counties. It's a place that matters. And to have a strong economy, you have to have a strong pipeline of young, talented people that can step into the roles that are coming here in finance and tech and manufacturing and the culinary field, future teachers, skilled labor, healthcare. And we feel if we're able to work together as two communities, we're going to be a much stronger region for that. So as immediate, yes, I do want to give a big plug to Mark. It's been a real gift getting to know Mark. Like you, I had heard Mark from afar for a long time. There's a real strong voice on what's important, and I appreciate his job is not easy. People that are willing to step up and lead and really believe in young people, and then, budget and program to have good opportunities in front of them. I mean, that was clear, but I've really enjoyed my time getting to know the man as well. It's been a real gift, and, it's easier to do hard work with people you like, right? And I certainly like Mark a lot. It's been fun.
Thank you, David.
Yeah well, Mark, to that, and let's just talk about the introduction of Say Yes into Niagara Falls. Just a little background on how it went for you to get to this point. And we're still like 1 year off before it actually launches, of course. Yeah,
well, I really appreciate the kind words, David. And we were watching the Buffalo Say Yes with a telescope, keeping a close eye on the good things that were happening. And when the call came to have a potential partnership, it was a no-brainer. It really was a no-brainer. Niagara Falls is much like Buffalo. We're sister and brother. We're a little bit on the smaller scale, but the work that they've done around the students in Buffalo has just been amazing and something that we've had our eye on and we have wanted to become part of. So the opportunity to partner with Say Yes and create our own Say Yes Niagara Falls, never taking away from the good work that is happening in Buffalo, but learning from them on behalf and in benefit of our students is something that you don't say no to say yes because they do good things. And as David always so accurately points out, this is about talent development too. And it's about keeping our kids in our area, which is a great area, but showing them what they could be, whether it's going to college, seeking an apprenticeship, learning a community resource in a Saturday academy, whatever it is, the way that Say Yes is structured, it is something that we want to be part of. And we're super excited. So if you refer to the fact that we're a year off, we're going to take this year and solidly plan every aspect of it and make sure that we hit the ground running about 1 year from today.
I want to get into the plans and a lot of things that David mentioned as well, but I think right now it might be a great opportunity to get into some of the, you know, the realities of Niagara Falls.
Sure.
Like I said, we've talked extensively about Buffalo, and there's a lot to talk about and a lot more to talk about, but we've only been able to scratch the surface to a certain extent in the falls. So outline, you know, the realities of the Niagara Falls district for its students.
Sure. We're a district of 7,041 students. We speak 19 different languages in our district, very similar to Buffalo. I think they have a few more than we do. We are what would once be known as a 60% minority ethnicity rate versus 40% white. We have 11 schools. We have 8 elementary schools, 2 prep schools or middle schools, and we have a high school, a large 2,000-student high school. Most pleased and most proud to tell you, over the last 6 years, our graduation rate, along with Buffalo's, has moved. We were at 67%. We're going to announce at some point soon that we're at 86%.
Wow.
And we're not there yet. We have a lot more work to do. We think that Say Yes could be the impetus to get that number into the 90s, which has been our goal. We have a 9-member Board of Education. Our annual budget is $190 million every year. And we have an 82% poverty rate in Niagara Falls. And there has been, you know, years of decline. As everyone knows, the industries have moved out. Tourism is a huge industry for us now. We have one of the wonders of the world. We have a spirit of people that it wants to do and can do. The school district employs 1,500 individuals. We are the largest employer in Niagara Falls. So we want to be able to bring value added beyond just a diploma to our kids. We want to make sure that we meet that ethical, moral, and professional obligation to put them on a career pathway, be it college, an apprenticeship in industrial manufacturing, teaching, what have you, and move forward. I think you're going to see some things in Niagara Falls that will line up nicely with Say Yes, because I think we're really on the precipice of a comeback. I say that with optimism, with sincerity, and with great hope. So we're similar to where Buffalo was at one time. Again, albeit in a smaller variety.
I can appreciate that. Just to step through it a little bit, though, well, what has been the difference in terms of increasing those graduation rates?
Well, what we noticed, first of all, was that we had a high dropout rate, and we really had to attack that. We had to keep kids in school, and what we heard when we talked to our students is that school wasn't relevant. School wasn't important to them. They didn't see a connection to the next phase in life. They felt hopeless. So something that we really spent a lot of time working on was to create these career pathways starting in 7th and 8th grade. And I had always hoped that we could drive that right down to 4th grade. I think career exploration, career decision-making starts in 4th grade. We have put a lot of effort into college courses while in high school. This year at Niagara Falls High School, we'll offer 50 college courses, credit-bearing courses. Kids are able to leave there with between three and we had a young lady who left with 62 college credits.
Wow.
62 college credits, and they were all paid for. They were all paid for through grants and other endowments. So I think those conditions have helped keep kids stay connected. We really do a lot with exploring what they're interested in, and we try to match them up and show the connection between what they're doing in high school, put investment in their wallet,
right.
which is college credits, or something like this. We have 32 students who are in the building trades program. We have our own building trades program, and they're getting their OSHA 10 card, their construction trades card, their asbestos removal, their lead abatement card. As a matter of fact, they're partnering with the city and the building trades, and they're going to build a gazebo in Hyde Park. Hmm. Those are things that keep kids in school. It's funny that we have had kids that were difficult time getting to school came during Regents Week when they didn't need to report because they were finishing the building of a pergola that they had started behind the school. So giving kids relevant opportunities and meaning to school has been a huge game changer for us in moving that graduation rate.
Well, certainly pleased to hear that for sure, to hear about kids getting more involved and more interested in school. And David, of course, Say Yes, Buffalo, it's been around for a while now, and for people who follow the news closely, we know a lot about it. But at the same time, I'm sure you have to give your elevator pitch frequently, nonetheless, about what Say Yes Buffalo is. And I think maybe we should just take a moment before we get into the upcoming merger, not merger, but the expansion into Niagara Falls, of what Say Yes Buffalo is.
Sure. Thanks, Jay. So we have a scholarship promise for every graduate of the public schools in the city of Buffalo, public and charter. That's what we're best known for, that if you complete high school, we will fund a last dollar tuition scholarship, in some cases more, to any SUNY or CUNY college in New York State and 100 private colleges around the country. The opportunities are amazing. Our great local institutions, regional schools like the U of R, RIT, Syracuse, national schools, every Ivy League is a participant in Say Yes. Places like Duke and Georgetown and Notre Dame are too. And we send students there. Just as important, we really support the local institutes of higher ed. Most of our students are at Buffalo State University, the University at Buffalo, SUNY Erie, Villa Maria College, just great partnerships locally, and our students do really well there. So there's that part of it. But, what matters and how you measure it has always been important to us. And we were hoping for increases in high school graduation rates, increases in students going on to earn a certificate, a two-year degree or a four-year degree, and now an apprenticeship, and then ultimately landing a good job here. So since we've launched our work, the graduation rate in Buffalo has gone up 30 percentage points. I fully credit the school district for that. They've done an amazing job over the last 10
plus years. But at the same time, like Mark said, making school relevant. Right. I mean, Say Yes has brought relevance to a lot of these kids, correct?
I think there's absolutely a factor around, hope and expectation and changing opportunities for young people, how they can see themselves in the workforce, in removing that huge financial barrier of college. Right now, Jay, we have 2,400 students on scholarship, 40% of combined family income below $25,000. In a given year, about 70% of students in the Buffalo Public Schools are taking advantage of our scholarship. The rest are going to work. They're doing what they have to do, maybe not what they want to do, given the economic needs of their family. So, I've always viewed Say Yes as access for everyone and choice. If you want to get a quick phlebotomy certificate, we'll support that. If you want to go two-year mechanical engineering, we'll support that. I was with a group of our alums the other day, many getting doctorate programs in law school and medical school, and we funded the undergraduate to get that pathway started for them. Mark had touched on apprenticeship. We've now added apprenticeship given some of those economic conditions I shared. So for example, we've got three-year apprenticeships, one-year apprenticeships where students, they graduate Buffalo Public, they go right to work. So they're working 15 to 20 hours a week. They're taking courses at a local college, either Hilbert, SUNY Erie, or Villa Maria, that's aligned with the coursework. So a relevant example, we've got a young man that graduated Hutch Tech right up the street. He's starting the third year of his apprenticeship at M&T Bank. He worked 15 hours year one, 20 hours year two. He's working in accounting and finance. So he took courses that were aligned with the job, accounting 101 and 102, intro to marketing, intro to management. He's benchmarked for the technical ability to do the job along the way with a mentor on site. So he'll finish that apprenticeship. He will have been paid the whole time. He'll have no debt. He'll either have a certificate or a two-year degree supported by Say Yes. Most important, he's got the promise of a job at M&T Bank working in accounting. And that is how you expand access to students that for them, college may be too free college may be too expensive for them.
Right.
So that's the way we've tried to grow and expand our offerings. So that has led to certainly an increase in high school graduation rate. But I just noted, you know, it doesn't happen without good work in the district.
Of course.
But we've also had a 15% increase in those entering college, a 14% increase in those completing. So it's worked at a macro level. And there isn't a city in the country that has made the gains Buffalo has made in the last decade. You know, there's a lot of work left to do, but it is meant to be a comprehensive, systemic approach to a good education and a good job. And there's definitely people that, you know, regardless of where you live, feel they're being left out of economic opportunity right now. And that's a place we don't want to be anywhere.
One of the things Mark kind of touched on, this is a kind of a common theme when we talk about education, especially for under-resourced kids. If you can't see it, you can't achieve it.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about your alum, your Say Yes alums. Do you take a moment to make sure they get into the schools so kids can see what they've been able to achieve?
Yeah, we have 3,500 plus alums now, Jay. I mean, and the number is growing that have accumulated 4,000 degrees. And, you know, that number is going to quickly swell. You know, as I mentioned, I was with 20 of them earlier this week with one of our investors. And they want to contribute. You know, we have an alumni network. They do work with younger students. They're very connected on LinkedIn. They've developed a brotherhood and a sisterhood where they help each other out, whether it's jobs. You know, we've got kids working in finance and real estate, and they can help with mortgages. We've got young women working at banks now. I mean, so the opportunity is there. And you can see when you make the investment how it can just grow over time and help a community's local economy. I mean, I fall back on the economy of this. If we had stayed at a 49% graduation rate in Buffalo, we would have 5,100 less graduates of the public schools. You know, their spending power just by moving from no high school diploma to high school diploma is $1.2 billion over their lifetime. And this is our economic opportunity. And then that comes with your point about alums. And like when you see somebody that has lived in your neighborhood and on your street that has gone on to earn a college degree and is now working as an entrepreneur in highly professional spaces, it does change what you feel you can accomplish. You know, our students are 80% students of color. Our scholars are. They live and work in the neighborhoods that they grew up in. So it's a great opportunity to provide, again, that that opportunity to a good job for everybody. And seeing people that have done it, you know, there's no greater motivation than that when they look like you.
And Mark, what about as it currently stands in Niagara Falls, the kids that graduate from the Falls and go on to college, where are you at right now? Do you know?
Yeah, we have our major feeders are Niagara University and SUNY Niagara. Yeah, those are our major feeders. 42% of our students go to a two-year school. Not exclusively SUNY Niagara, SUNY Erie, and others. About 20% or so go to four-year institutions. Those of which David mentioned, they go to those great schools as well. We traditionally send 8% of our graduates to the military.
Really,
a branch of the military. It's our kids have, I certainly commend them. I'm very proud of that number. At graduation, we have them stand up with their cord on and. You'll see out of a class of 450, 40 kids stand up with a plan to go to the military, and we encourage that and are thankful for that. And then 30% of our kids were saying, well, I'm going to work. And we asked ourselves the question, well, where are you going to work?
Okay.
What are you doing? You know, that really was a big driver in this as well. Well, tell us about work, and let's talk about the difference between a job and a career. We are trying to put people in careers. Careers are important things. Careers have benefits. Careers allow you to invest. Careers allow you to increase your salary. Careers are things that you're happy doing and can see yourself growing in. We all have had jobs, and that's not to downplay the role of a job, but we're really trying to speak in terms of careers. And through the power of this partnership and other things we've done, we've really started to fill those careers in and expose kids to more things that they hadn't been able to see or experience. That's why apprenticeships are so very important. That's why even starting them at a younger age than senior year is important. As we've talked about a couple of times this morning, you've got to see it to believe it, to be it, to think you can do it. And I think when you're talking about kids who come from poverty, that is probably the biggest challenge that we have, the ability to see what you can't see. But we have got to put that vision in front of them. And our kids can learn, achieve, and career like any other student in New York State or this country. I believe that, and we'll support that 100%.
Say Yes Buffalo, heading to Niagara Falls next year. We're going to talk more about this as we continue our conversation this morning. You're listening to What's Next on WBFO.
Hey, educators. You've been asking for it, and it's here. Reading Rainbow Stories is ready to help your students stay on track. Each story is paired with activities to help students strengthen cross-curricular skills, such as math and business in Lemonade for Sale.
Let's keep track of our sales.
Science and health in Germs Make Me Sick.
Usually, you feel better after a day or two.
Thanks.
But if you don't, you should see a doctor.
And history in Following the Drinking Gourd.
One of the worst things about slavery is that families were separated. Fathers, mothers, and children were oftentimes sold to different people.
Check out the new Reading Rainbow Stories collection on PBS Learning Media today to help your students stay on track.
Take a levity break with Group Chat, hosted by Tiffany Bentley. Listen Fridays at 10 a.m. on WBFO for lively banter on everything in pop culture, music, movies, trends, social media, and more.
At Buffalo Toronto Public Media, community is at the heart of everything we do. Whether we're dancing alongside you at Porch Fest, inviting you in for a tough conversation about systemic racism, teaching you about what to do when someone overdoses, or entertaining you with free concerts in our performance space. Engaging with and serving our community is our top priority. This is Public Media.
You're listening to What's Next, our place to discuss the important issues of our communities of Western New York and Southern Ontario. We want to hear from you. Click on the Talk to Us option in the WBFO app, and we will work to get your questions or comments on the air. Do you have a story or concern that we should be addressing? Email us using whatsnext@wbfo.org. Together, we'll have the conversations that are needed. This is WBFO, your NPR station.
And welcome back to What's Next. Our guest this morning, the CEO of Say Yes Buffalo, David Rust, and the superintendent of Niagara Falls City Schools, Mark Laurie. Mark, let's go back now to what you have to do here in the next year. I mean, it's one thing to say you got a plan. It's another, of course, to do it. And one of the big things, of course, is increasing an endowment to make sure those scholarships are available. I mean, you're a humble school superintendent. Now you're going to be getting into the fundraising field?
Well, I've got a good partner in David.
Okay.
I am going to follow his lead, really, because what they did in Buffalo, and I believe the number was $65 million, he has closed in on it with his team and done an amazing, amazing job at that. So with respect to that, I think David and I are going to be on the circuit, so to speak, a lot throughout the course of this year, visiting, meeting, speaking. We appreciate this opportunity to let your listeners hear this. So we're going to be attached at the hip. So I'm glad David has a good first impression. I hope that lasts. we're going to be traveling around, meeting people, talking about just what we're talking about now. How this is not just a school program or something. This is an economic driver. This is going to move the economy of Niagara Falls and Western New York forward. And we're going to do that together. He's got great experience, phenomenal context and context, and he's got a plan. And the plan worked expertly in Buffalo, and I'm so impressed with it. So I'm gonna ride on his hip and do what I can. I do want to say that when we brought this to our school board, which needed to certainly give their stamp of approval, they were unanimously behind that, to the point where we were looking at a bit of a budget deficit last year, and thankfully we pulled through that. But they committed money to add only one program next, and we kept everything, but the one add was to do what we needed to do to build the underpinnings of Say Yes. They added money to our general fund budget to do that. That's how committed the nine members of the school board were after hearing a little bit from me, but one presentation from David and his his team. So, yeah, we're going to be traveling. We're going to be traveling Niagara County. We're going to be traveling beyond there and meeting a lot of people and explaining, just as you're allowing us to do today, why this is so important.
So what are those underpinnings, David, that need to be established? Or maybe you want to take us back to maybe when you started things off here with Say Yes Buffalo, maybe some of the hard lessons you had to learn.
Well, the biggest thing I would have done different is establish our endowment from the beginning.
Okay. You know,
you'll recall we raised about $30 million to fund scholarships for the first 10 years. We didn't know if this would work, you know, and it did, which led us to launch the endowment campaign, which is almost done in Buffalo with, you know, a couple million dollars left to go. And that's one of the immediate changes that we've discussed with Niagara Falls is all the money we raise, we will endow. We're probably going to be trying to raise about $20 million. You know, you will spend about 5% of that, 5.5% on an annual basis. And that will keep the corpus intact. It will grow over time and be able to fund scholarships in perpetuity for all the graduates from Niagara Falls Public Schools. It's just an amazing investment in young people and in education and in an economy. And that is the biggest chip pivot, again, that I've noted that we've made as we've started to have these discussions, you know, with Mark. And, you know, you look at Niagara Falls, there's nothing but opportunity. There's nothing but potential. I think sometimes people look at our region with the deficit lens, and I see it as the opposite.
Right.
You know, I think that the people in the place are beautiful. And this is one of the major strategies and anchors we can have in place to continue to help our communities long term. So I think that's the biggest lesson learned. I do think it will be difficult. You know, raising that type of capital is hard in any community. You know, we don't have a huge Fortune 500 bench here. We don't have tons of foundations. This is a very generous and giving community. And my hope is, given the data that we've been able to work with Buffalo Public Schools on, the economic returns for the city, and to tell that same compelling story in Niagara, the city of Niagara Falls, in the region, you know, up in Lewiston and up in Wilson. I mean, these are places that Niagara Falls matters to them, and it should. As your cities go, your core goes. So we feel we can tell a compelling story about the outcomes that can be anticipated in Niagara Falls as well.
And I'm curious, though, when you are making, you know, that effort to raise those funds, which, you know, and we can throw around the dollars, but I can imagine you can remember the sweat equity that went into raising all those dollars. What makes the difference? Is it the data, the economic message, or is it the message that, you know, these are kids who aren't getting a chance, and this is a way to give them a chance?
I try and tell both. I mean, I call it the heart and the head, right? I mean, the head is the data, the economic data, the educational data, the returns. I think the heart is when you meet these, you know, beautiful, smart, talented young people that have been left on the sidelines for a long time. And you see that they want to have a career. They want to live here. They want to have a family, you know. At the end of the day, people want similar things, Jay, right? A safe street, access to an education, and access to a good job to take care of themselves and their families. Now, there's a lot of complications that get in the way with that. But we can help on those. And then when you take the young people that are being provided the opportunity, you know, it absolutely sells itself. You know, I noted we have a couple million dollars left to go in Buffalo. You could walk into any one of those 55 public school buildings next week. And we're asking people to support those kids that are still on their pipeline through, you know, a high school degree and eventually a post-secondary degree. It's the same thing in Niagara Falls. We're trying to support, you know, all the students that are currently in the public schools and all those that are going to come behind them. And we'll tell that story through a combination of the heart and the head. And, you know, my hope, some people will definitely be moved by it, you know, not everybody. And we will give it our best to try and raise that money for the kids in Niagara Falls. They deserve it. And we'll spend the next year and a half doing that.
And Mark, I'm curious about some just general initial reactions, right? I mean, we won't get into maybe some of the folks that you've tried to see how the interest is about maybe supporting this campaign, but just maybe the general reactions that you got. I can imagine there's a lot of positives. You obviously are an optimistic individual, but have there been naysayers about this, that they can't work, that it's too much money to raise, it's not worth doing, anything like that?
Now, we have a can-do attitude, and we're going to prevail with that attitude. We've had one major meeting, and it went better than I could have expected.
Really?
I laugh and tell...
Who wants to give me details?
Yeah. Okay. I laugh and tell David that I wasn't sure how it would go, but when we left there, it was just the greatest feeling because everybody heard the message, they asked their questions, and not only did the organization come through, But individuals who were sitting in the audience said, I want to do my part and make a contribution, which just blew me out of the water. It just blew me away. And they said, Dave, that's a feeling that I haven't really experienced in terms of, you know, speaking to groups and raising money. So it is not going to be easy. It's right. not. It isn't. It isn't going to be easy. But God, that initial meeting was such an uplifting high, so to speak, that wow, the people will believe in us. They see the point. They see the head, the smartness of it, the head that David talks about. But when those individuals in that audience gave from the heart because they believed in what we were doing, it was like nothing I've ever experienced before. And I don't mean to use hyperbole, but it was a real high.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. So, well, then, what do you think? Isn't that message that makes the difference, that made the difference maybe for people who you didn't necessarily expect that kind of reaction?
I think that they look down the road and see the success in Buffalo, first of all. This is I mean, we're so lucky to have had the model that was built in Buffalo. They know it has, you know, strong pillars. They know it's working here. They want to be part of that. They want to be part of it. We even had people in that meeting say, I can do this much, but I know these five people. And I'd like you to see these five people, and I'll make that introduction. So I think that they see the overall, first of all, they have good hearts. They really have good hearts. But they see the overall picture of how it globally will help Western New York. It'll globally help the Niagara area, and it's got a proven track record. So in a lot of ways, it's going to be difficult to raise that money, but in a lot of ways, we have a map. We have a GPS. When they started in Buffalo, they were building the GPS. So we're going to use the GPS. We're going to appeal to the heart, but really explain to the head why this is going to help us all in the long run.
We're talking about Say Yes Buffalo and its effort that 1 year from now, Say Yes will be in Niagara Falls. We're talking with Mark Laurie, the school superintendent in Niagara Falls, and also David Rust, the CEO of Say Yes Buffalo. At the same time, though Say Yes is going to be going into Niagara Falls, it's going to be a little bit different, right? There are, what, 16 pillars to Say Yes? Yes. Niagara Falls is only going to opt for four of them. Let's talk about what, you know, why that's the case, why maybe only four, and you know what's the difference there.
Well, one of the first things that we did when we met and decided we were going to go forward with this is that we took a look at those 16 pillars that are so successful in Buffalo, and we analyzed those against what we were already doing in Niagara Falls and where we thought we had some deficiencies or where we could use some support. So, you know, I'm proud to say we have had and worked on a very robust early childhood program. I know Say Yes does good work in Buffalo, but 3 years ago, we took the Head Start grant and we took the Head Start program over as one of only three districts in New York State to do that. So we have a good foothold already in early childhood. And we made a determination around things like early childhood that we'll continue to run the things the way we're going. But there were four areas that we thought we really needed some support in. And we made a determination that working with boys and men of color was a huge initiative and something that was very needed in Niagara Falls. We decided that Saturday academies were something we've always wanted to do. But after one visit to a Saturday academy in Buffalo, I said, we're missing out. Hmm. We're not tapping all of our community resources. We can do this. We need to open our schools twice a month.
What do you see in those Saturday academies, though?
What I saw was the community coming into the school and not only educating students, but educating parents.
Okay.
It brought the community together. First of all, it starts with a breakfast and a lunch. And it starts with the access to the public school, which is owned by the public, not by anyone else, to come in on a Saturday and let kids really have their guard let down, get the academic support, but also do some real fun STEM activities. I saw great theater. I saw great theater at the visit I made. I saw athletics. I saw kids just having fun and kids in small groups doing things that they wanted to do and they wanted to be there. And then I saw parents. And I saw parents learning, and I saw parents learning next to their children. And I saw parents coming in to get educated. And it's not something we had been doing in Niagara Falls. And I think that is something that we should have been doing. We saw the lessons and the impact that it's having in Buffalo. So the Saturday Academies, again, no-brainers. We're going to go full force on those. And I love it. And we're getting great reaction from our staff and our community on that. Apprenticeships was the third pillar that we had started, but the access that Say Yes Buffalo has to even more businesses and manufacturing opportunities really opened up another door for us. And we could do a lot more and a lot better. And of course, the hallmark is the Last Dollar Scholarship.
Right.
That's really the attractive pillar, so to speak. But it doesn't happen without the other three or the other 15 in Buffalo. And we just wanted to make a conscious effort to go to where we needed to go and not replicate what we were doing well. That wouldn't have been efficient.
So I guess I didn't know that, David. So Say Yes was behind the opening of the schools on Saturday. That was one of your initiatives?
Well, it was this really started with the majority leader, Crystal People Stokes, okay, who put a budget line in for community schools across the state with a desire to open schools on Saturdays in Buffalo and elsewhere. I think after that, you know, the resources flow to the school district, and they had an equally important vision for a model like that. The associate superintendent at that point in time who led the work was David Mauricio, who's now a superintendent downstate. And we started with around 12 schools, and, you know, we had no idea if anybody was going to show up. We were saying, you know, you're throwing a party on a Saturday, is anybody going to come? So, you know, I think we had resources, we had vision, and then you need a team to implement. And the district asked us if we would be interested in implementing the Saturday Academies under their leadership. So we hired a team of community school navigators. They planned the activities in close consultation with the principal in the building and district leadership on what's going to be unique to that building and that community and what will take place. So, you know, that was the history behind it. There was a lot of high-level support, both at the state level and in the school district. And then our amazing team, they're program planners. They run the activities, and then we measure the data. And, you know, we've learned in Buffalo, once a student comes three times, grades go up, school attendance goes up, discipline referrals drop, right? And there's more we can do there. You know, we are very interested in adding, you know, intentional business partnerships into the community schools. You know, the labor market assessment that Invest Buffalo Niagara had put out a couple of years ago, it was infused with recommendations to have a stronger economy. And one of the 50 was meaningful corporate partnerships with your public schools. Mark talked about it earlier. Students don't always know they can work in accounting at M&T Bank. They can work as a machinist at Moog. They can work in HR or in the culinary field at Delaware North or at Ritchie's. We've got great jobs available in our town, and the earlier we are infusing career opportunities, the better. I mean, even in the elementary schools, there's an amazing STEM program here run by Simone, who I love. And, you know, you see kids in there, they're coding, and you know what you can do down the road. You can make a lot of money once you're coding, but they're coding Legos, you know, and then they start to move. Like, that's really cool stuff. And that's some of the early career exploration that takes place in Saturday Academies with the long-term view of, you know, we want this to result in you graduating and then earning a good job.
What about, I mean, again, this is not necessarily data, but more anecdotal. I'm just curious what opening a school on a Saturday means for that neighborhood. What are you hearing? Are you getting any feedback from parents or from the staff members who are involved in that? What that might mean for it? Because, you know, that's a long kind of historical criticism of the Buffalo District over the years. When things started changing during the 70s and the way the school district was enacted, that the school was no longer a part of the community.
I mean, my view is those days are long gone. The school district is resource rich. I mean, they are mandated to educate, right? And look what else school districts tackle now. Everything from food to clothing to early childhood, social service programming, family support. The mandate is incredibly difficult on what school districts are required to do now. And then Buffalo continues to go above and beyond. So, you know, the buildings are open. A lot of people come from the neighborhood, but it's open to all. Students and families can come from other neighborhoods, from charter schools, from the suburbs. You know, they're open for you and your family. There's an administrator in the building. There's certainly a clerical team. There's teachers there that are doing additional activities. And it may not relate to what they were teaching the child yesterday. They're there in their jeans and their sweatshirt, and they might be doing a sewing or a STEM or an athletic activity with a kid, and it's a chance to get to know a child a little bit differently than you normally do. So they're extremely well received. I mean, there's thousands of people that are coming through these buildings. You know, the first time they open will be early October for the first Saturdays, and there will be hundreds of people in that day. And over the course of the year, you know, you're getting 30 plus thousand people coming through the public school buildings on a Saturday. And people, you know, they vote with their feet on things like this. So you can tell they're really compelling activities taking place for students and families to show up at that type of volume.
That is most certainly great news for sure. We're going to take one more time. I'll come back with our final moments here this morning with Mark Laurie, the superintendent of Niagara Falls Schools, and also David Rust, the CEO of Say Yes Buffalo. Next year at this time, Say Yes will be in Niagara Falls. We'll take a time out. This is What's Next on WBFO.
At Buffalo Toronto Public Media, community is at the heart of everything we do. Whether we're dancing alongside you at Porch Fest, inviting you in for a tough conversation about systemic racism, teaching you about what to do when someone overdoses, or entertaining you with free concerts in our performance space, engaging with and serving our community is our top priority. This is Public Media.
Hey people, Corey here with Compact Civics. If you're from Western New York, you know snow. And unfortunately, you know how damaging those annoying potholes can be. But do you know what's involved in filling those potholes so your car tires can stay intact? Let me put you on. Because maintaining roads involves way more than the average citizen might think. Cities, counties, and states take part in this process. Why, you might ask? Well, a state might be responsible for filling potholes and paving, but a city handles snow plowing and de-icing. These responsibilities are shared among elected officials, road managers, supervisors, and other essential personnel, all so you can drive safely. Try and imagine a city or town without a public works department. No one to manage public buildings like schools or hospitals, or maintain infrastructure we rely on, like roads, bridges, and airports. Can't forget about essential public services like water and sewage. And when those summer months hit, you can forget about public spaces we enjoy, like parks and beaches. We deserve these spaces, and our taxes pay for it all. So, next time you drive across a smooth road or see a snowplow clearing one, appreciate it. Public works are the backbone of what keep our communities and quality of life thriving.
Special thanks to our partners, the Buffalo Presidential Center, whose mission is to explore and share stories about Buffalo and Western New York's contributions to the U.S. presidency and national affairs.
At Buffalo Toronto Public Media, community is at the heart of everything we do. Whether we're dancing alongside you at Porch Fest, inviting you in for a tough conversation about systemic racism, teaching you about what to do when someone overdoses, or entertaining you with free concerts in our performance space. Engaging with and serving our community is our top priority. This is Public Media.
You're listening to What's Next, our place to discuss the important issues of our communities of Western New York and Southern Ontario. We want to hear from you. Click on the Talk to Us option in the WBFO app, and we will work to get your questions or comments on the air. Do you have a story or concern that we should be addressing? Email us using whatsnext@wbfo.org. Together, we'll have the conversations that are needed. This is WBFO, your NPR station.
And welcome back to What's Next, talking this morning about Say Yes Buffalo and the effort to go into Niagara Falls starting next year at this time. With us, we have David Rust, the CEO of Say Yes Buffalo, and Mark Laurie, superintendent of Niagara Falls Schools. And boy, it's nice to have these breaks because we find out something new. There's a Starbucks in the high school?
We have had a Starbucks franchise inside Niagara Falls High School for about 5 years.
Wow.
It's student run. We have a program called F Bites with the infamous Chef Bobby Anderson, who was on a show with Gordon Ramsay, Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah.
So we have Chef Bobby come in and teach the students. They get a barista certificate that they can take with them. He teaches them not only that, but then he teaches social emotional skills through food.
Really.
And we cycle 4 groups of 10 students every 10 weeks, and they learn how to do it. They open it up for a theater performance, a play, a show in our theater, and they open it up every morning from 7:30 to 9 for the teachers. And once in a while, a student will sneak down there and get something. And the students have to manage everything about that, from the purchasing the supplies, to making the products, to selling the products, to keeping the books. The only in-kind service that we provide for them are the lights and the electricity and the heat and in the air. But we're trying to give kids a real life experience, and they are able to take that certificate, put it on their resume, and go out and get a job.
Nice.
It's fun.
Yeah, I like that. I like where that sounds. We should have one in this building. David, we did have an opportunity to talk a few months back, but, you know, the 16 pillars of Say Yes Buffalo, and, you know, we don't necessarily have to get an answer, but we talked about the four that Niagara Falls is going to be implementing, but, you know, maybe just a moment or a few minutes here just to kind of, you know, get into that just a little bit to make sure that everybody kind of understands that they're, you know, the scholarships. That's the headline of yeah. Say Yes Buffalo, and will be in Niagara Falls as well. But the other initiatives that you're making sure are now a part of education in the city of Buffalo.
So we have a real meaningful partnership with the Buffalo Public Schools. And I mean, the thought behind it is if you don't have proper food, clothing, shelter, that scholarship means nothing, whether it's 2, 7, or 10 years away. We want to help teachers be able to focus on their core job every day. And if students are coming in hungry or didn't have a good sleeping experience last night or, you know, need different health or social service interventions, they're not going to be able to learn as well. And teachers are going to be distracted from their job. And it's not perfect. But yes, we have these elements in place. So, you know, now we are instructing 3-year-old programs in the public schools, and students get auto admit to the district's UPK program in kindergarten. You know, there's so much data around early learning and the importance of it, and third grade reading levels being that critical indicator for, you know, what your future could or could not look like. And that's being funded by the district and Erie County. You know, we have mental health clinics in every public school building. We have social service and health caseworkers that are covering all the public school buildings, you know, and helping kids with, again, food, clothing, shelter. There will be, you know, October's coming. There will be kids out at the bus stop 3 days in a row when it's 40 and raining and they have asthma. It'll kick in and they'll miss a week of school, right, Mark? Something like that happens. And so, you know, infusing all these interventions in place, plus the Saturday academies and mentoring and internships and the apprenticeship work, all of that is meant to, I think, protect the investment that our investors have made in our scholarship fund by our public sector, the city, the county, the school district, funding these supports to help students get ready for the scholarship and remove barriers. And I have to give a lot of credit to our public partners. You know, we've had, you know, Dr. Williams Knight's an amazing woman. Mayor Brown and County Executive Poloncarz have been longtime champions of Say Yes, and they're doing. This isn't work they're mandated to do either. They're choosing to do it and make meaningful investments in young people. You know, the state's been a tremendous contributor to our endowment through Senator Kennedy and the majority leader. Again, they're, I think, legacy investments they're making to give our kids a real shot at accessing a good job. But those program elements are just as critical as the scholarship, Jay, because it just, it doesn't matter without it, you know. And when I bring guests into the public schools, you know, this is what I say, you know, these are, look at the investments our public sector is making to protect your investment in the scholarship. They're doing this to get them ready, and they don't have to.
What about in the falls? I can only assume the idea of Say Yes coming into Niagara Falls has been embraced by city officials, county officials, is that case?
Yeah, the initial meeting that we had with the majority leader's chief of staff was with the mayor and David and his team. And we have since gone back to the mayor and shared our progress. And we were really pleased that Mayor Restaino was fully on board with this and was going to work to be a supporter in the way Mayor Brown and Executive Poloncarz on his level. So he sees the connection. He sees the importance. We're going to get good governmental support. So it's exciting. I really believe that the mayor recognizes the power of this too. So
We're there,
and we're learning, and we've learned. But that learning took place right at City Hall for us, and I couldn't be more pleased.
So you mentioned you reported some progress to him. What was the progress that you reported? What can you share about that?
We talked about the fact that we're all in on this,
okay,
and that we are all in on these four pillars, and that we're going to need his support and guidance as we make our tour to get support. And we also would like support from City Hall in terms of financing. And the mayor, you know, wasn't able to commit a specific number, but he did commit that he was going to work to bring money to us because he sees the connection. So we'll revisit him again soon, and we'll nail that down. But just having us walk in the door and say, "You've got my commitment," tells me that his handshake is going to be good. And we're really excited. The mayor was a 9-year school board member.
Right.
So he knows what we do. He knows what this can do. And he knows that this is part of the revitalization he's bringing to Niagara Falls. So I was really proud and pleased at that moment as well.
You know, you mentioned earlier about how, you know, it's not going to be easy to get the money that's needed for Niagara Falls. And also, you say Yes Buffalo has its own funds to raise as well. What about, is there, I know it sounds kind of like getting in the weeds here, but is there some sort of, what separates, what's the firewall between what you have to do and what Niagara Falls has to do?
I mean, it's an individualized approach to that, right? So we've got about $3 million left for our endowment in Buffalo. In our next strategic plan, we will likely have one final smaller set of investments we're trying to secure to keep us where we need to be in perpetuity, probably no more than $5 million there. You know, there is some overlap between potential investors for Say Yes Buffalo and Say Yes Niagara Falls. Our initial list is less than you'd think. So we are going to go to a distinct list of investors with a specific ask for Say Yes Niagara Falls, like we have for Say Yes Buffalo. And then, you know, I think you always want to give people choice when you're having these conversations. You know, I was having a conversation with somebody about Buffalo and they said, I think there's more interest in seeding something in Niagara Falls. Great. You know, it helps kids in our region. That's a good thing. And I'm all in on that. You know, when you're doing this stuff, you can get it right or you can be right. And we always want to get it right. And that is listening, understand where the interests lie and where people want to make an investment. You know, I do think down the road, as people's pledges expire with Buffalo, there's likely to be some interest in Niagara Falls, given the outcomes here and what we are talking about with this regional approach to talent development. You know, we are trying to think big. I think we need to think big as a city. We need to think big as a region.
Well, you've got some big numbers when it comes to jobs that need to be filled, right?
Yeah. I mean, this is about kids, it's about education, it's about economic development, it's about anti-poverty, and it's a systemic approach to that, right? This is not charity. This is real meaningful economic development work. And yeah, it takes capital and patient capital to get that done. I think one of the beautiful things about the Say Yes endowment model is you don't need to ask forever, right? You secure your goal and you're off that hamster wheel of fundraising and you have an incredible strategy and asset in place long-term in your community.
You know, I think we've spent a lot of time in this hour focusing on the head a little bit about this, you know, where we talked about the head and the heart. Mark Lurie, as we kind of come down to our final few minutes here, the heart. What about that? I mean, you know, you're with these kids every day. You're with this district. You're working through all the many machinations of a school district and a complicated one at that. But what about it? What's at the heart of all this?
I'm super proud, but super sensitive about our kids in Niagara Falls because they can compete with anyone, and they're good people. And you know, we hear the 1 or 2%, which is across any community and any school district, but they're good kids. They want a chance. They're well-mannered. They will greet you. They will talk to you. They're honest. They are honest. They are brutally honest, which is what I love most about Niagara Falls. Listen, they'll talk to you straight, and we try to talk back to them straight, but they want to achieve. Many of them will be first-generation college goers, and they want to show and they want to do something better for their family. They also want to see their community get better, and they take a lot of pride in becoming a Wolverine alumni. They take a lot of pride in saying, you know, we can do just what anyone else does, and sometimes they're hurt by criticism, and I'm hurt by that criticism. So opportunities like Say Yes and the thought that David and his team would even consider coming to Niagara Falls really, really gives them a boost and really gives them hope and really gives them an outlook that they may not have. So the heart is you know, strengthened by this. And I know you're going to see results. I know you're going to continue to hear great things. We have a great alumni base, too. That's another area that I know we're going to tap into. They're proud of our graduates. And this is just an uplifting thing for Niagara Falls.
And then finally, to you, David, 1 year from now, this all kicks off in Niagara Falls. Say Yes, Niagara Falls. Confident that the money is going to be there, that it's going to happen. We talked about how it's not going to be easy, but a year from now, what are you going to be telling me?
I think the obvious answer is the core program elements are going to roll out, which are really critical. And I fully credit Mark for having the vision to embrace those and be willing to fund them. You know, as superintendents make hard choices in their budget, and that will go. I am confident that we're going to have a nice core secured towards a scholarship model and an endowed model. And it will be somewhat in line with Buffalo. You know, if we don't get all the way there on a big, difficult goal, it doesn't stop a year from now. You know, I've been fundraising for SAYS for 13 years. This stuff takes time. We will get a model in place. And the beauty of that endowment is it naturally grows and we'll be able to enhance the scholarship awards over time, Jay. So there will be more financial resources available. I'm confident of that. But, you know, I don't think it's just a one-year fundraising campaign that will get it done. So
gotcha.
Our goal is to have an announced date, some type of scholarship model in place that can go enhance it in time. And, you know, that'll be a great thing for Niagara Falls and for Buffalo and the region, too, Jay.
Well, I appreciate both your specifics and your optimism, gentlemen, and for being with us today on What's Next. Mark Laurie is the superintendent of Niagara Falls Schools. David Russ, the CEO of SAYS Buffalo. Thank you, gentlemen, for being with us.
Thank you for letting us tell our story. We appreciate it.
It's been great. We look forward to talking to you next year at this time. Has been What's Next on WBFO.
Support for WBFO and What's Next comes from our members and from Health Foundation for Western and Central New York, where racial and socioeconomic health equity are prioritized. Learn more about building healthier neighborhoods at hfwcny.org.